Proverbs 4, verses 14 through 23. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is just as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Thus ends the reading of the scripture. You may be seated. And I'm very happy to hear we get part two today. So, Mark, come on up here and give us part two.
Well, good morning. Well, the title of today's message is Your Papers, Please, Part 2. And today's scripture reading was Proverbs 4, 14 through 23. And apparently Esau Edom partakes of a communion of sorts, eating the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. I'm reminded of John's vision in Revelation 17, 6, and I saw the woman, meaning Mystery Babylon, drunken with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. What they commune with is the Babylonian Talmud and hang on every word that proceeds from the mouth of their rabbis. A rabbi is a Jew who is proficient in twisting and convoluting the intent of God's word. Evidently, those who enter the path of Talmudic wickedness can't sleep until they've done some mischief and caused people to fall and stumble. Well, the current events of this past week are more confirmation of the dialectics of a created solution to satisfy a created problem, which produces a desired result. What is that result? It's a stumbling block to perceive reality. Conversely, in 1 Corinthians 1:23, when we preach Christ crucified, he is a stumbling block to the Jews. In other words, the doctrine of the cross is offensive to Jews. What the Obama regime has done is offensive and contrary to God. So, what else is news with so many Jewish advisors to a long train of traitorous presidents? Obama's approval rating has skyrocketed. It's hit its highest point in 2 years at 60%. And more than half of Americans now say he deserves to be reelected. According to an AP, Associated Press, which is Jewish owned and controlled, an AP poll taken after the Navy SEALs killed Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. The poll now declares Obama a strong leader who will keep America safe. 73% say they are confident that Obama can effectively handle terrorist threats and that he's improved his standing on Afghanistan, Iraq, and U.S. relations with foreign countries. Well, that must make the Council on Foreign Relations real proud. 52% of Americans now approve of Obama's stewardship of the economy and how he's handling the high unemployment rate. But I wonder at this great overnight marvel. In order to believe this miraculous turnaround of one of the worst presidencies ever, one has to believe the birth certificate and the killing of bin Laden. I don't believe any of it, even though the alleged poll quoted your average American Republican. Where did they get these numbers? I think it was out of the same hat that they pull rabbits out of. I was happy about bin Laden, says Brenda Vekoff, 42, of Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania. I put my fist in the air, like a clenched fist, like the commie salute, I don't know. She said, to me, it was just a little bit of closure for the United States. In house cleaning, we call sweeping the dirt under the rug. Well, happiness is a smoking gun, and in her perfect world, closure is a memory hole. On the other hand, Susan Damaris, 56, of Snellville, Georgia, said, I'm very concerned about my country, who didn't support the Democrat last time and won't this time. I'm in my 50s, and I worry that I'm not going to be able to retire at a reasonable age and enjoy the end of my life because of Medicare and Social Security and the debt of the country. Now, perhaps Susan will be told to gather her own straw to make her own bricks. Still, she says, Obama doesn't carry all of the blame. Well, she's right. People like Brenda and Susan have no one to blame but themselves, because they have believed in the lies of the wicked. They probably thought the Patriot Act was patriotic. Well, I'll tell you what concerns me is the seemingly incomprehensible American public that swallows the official government version of things hook, line, and sinker that are not based on one iota of truth. In light of the series of blatant lies being offered by the Obama regime, it's amazing how so many people still believe whatever they are told by official sources. Now, this mass brainwashing is as disturbing as devastating weather modification, and both can be seen right now in the Mississippi River cresting and displacing thousands of Americans as of mid-May 2011. In fact, I was watching the news this morning, and down in Louisiana, 25,000 people are going to be displaced. But if you're an African American and you got one of your own kind in the White House and you live in a drug-infested slum of 2,800 lowlifes in Cairo, Illinois, your worthless ghetto can be spared, while several hundred hard-working white farmers and their families are destroyed because the Army Corps of Engineers blew up 2 miles of levees that was protecting Bird's Point, Missouri, from flooding, wiping out 130,000 acres of fertile, productive cropland. Of all the potential food that was lost, who do you think is going to be sniveling about food stamps and shortages when they come? This intentional action on the part of the government loudly decrees that white people are expendable and that crackheads are to be coddled. What prevented these white people from destroying those who would destroy them? They took their case to the Supreme Court, full of Jews and Catholics, and they lost. Hello, wake up call. There's some kind of psychological processing that malfunctions and filters out information based on its source rather than its integrity. These people operate on a mentality that has misplaced their trust in God for government, mainstream media, AMA quacks, or anything that puts on the illusion of authority. Normal, intelligent people would raise real concerns about an impending danger. Real Christians would raise up the standard of righteousness. But there aren't many real churches left in this country anymore. Some people are so gullible that they believe the government would never lie, that the media presents news based on some kind of imaginary code of honor, that they would never lie. Most people just cannot imagine a wicked enemy for planting the seeds of deception and to manipulate what's really happening. The information is not received from an official source, and any other source is automatically filtered out. As a Christian identity minister of God, I have to be 100 times smarter than the knuckleheads that they're cranking out of seminaries and Bible colleges, because they have credentials. Your papers, Pastor Downey. Well, some people get real upset that I have pastor before my name after reading my material, because they expect the image they have been conditioned to accept as some guy being warm and fuzzy. And they probably never knocked the dust off their Bibles. Well, I don't really care, but I am a Christian. And somehow I'm behind this pulpit. I'd rather be fishing. But I'm compelled to tell people that they're killing the fish. So I guess that makes me a fisher of men. It may sound cavalier to the Judeo-Christians, but I don't need no stinking papers to preach. The only thing I have is the same calling as the disciples, to follow and to proclaim the truth, the way, and the life. You know, there just must be something in my blood that just can't stand liars. I think Martin Luther must have felt the same way when he wrote the Jews and their lies. What do you recall hearing about Orson Welles' 1938 radio program that announced aliens from outer space had invaded Earth and were zapping our cities into oblivion? A lot of Americans were fooled into believing it was really happening. There's a panic in the streets. Not because it made any sense, but because the information came from a source they trusted. It came from CBS. To those people, the alien invasion was just as real back then as bin Laden's official death is to those who trust the Marxist Luciferian government today. Government lying, of course, has been going on for as long as governments have existed. Not all conspiracy theories are true, of course, but so many of them turn out to be true that the idea of not believing in conspiracies makes no rational sense. To not believe in conspiracies means you don't believe two people have ever sat down and plotted to take advantage of others in some unethical and deceptive way. Well, gee, that describes just about every board meeting of every large corporation in the world. Conspiracies are not just commonplace. They're practically synonymous with modern-day capitalism. Even right now, Apple is being accused of a conspiracy to keep employee wages artificially low. Well, are all conspiracy theories automatically tossed out because of the word conspiracy? You know, some words get a bad rap. They get this knee-jerk reaction. What's real to the unsuspecting mind is only what they are being told right now by the White House. When Bush Jr. occupied the White House, the daily fibs were things like, the Iraqis want us to occupy their land with military personnel because we are setting them free. I read that one of the first things that the U.S. military occupation in Iraq did was to impose driver's license and gun registration. Your papers, please. Oh yeah, that's just a bit of twisted logic for sure. Rights combined with privileges, which eventually just become privileges. But it's no different than Obama's version of the war fairy tales, which includes such gems as, we're only dropping humanitarian bombs on Libya. Or, it's not actually war, it's only kinetic military action. Huh? Today, our autocratic rulers in the form of a corporate oligarchy keep rather hidden from prying eyes of the commoners. Just like this character that Pastor Elmore mentioned earlier, and I caught the same news item this morning from the International Monetary Fund. And I told my wife, they act like they own people. But they wield the same power as the emperors of old, with the same obvious results. America, us, our country, is ripping apart at the seams. Our currency has been destroyed. Our treasury is indebted beyond the point of any return. The cost of our daily survival is quickly rising beyond any average person's means to pay. And our political system is a never-ending parade of straight-faced Muppets singing and dancing to the tune of liberal versus conservative theater. Yet, where has our attention been lately? We live in the horror of a terminal America infested by career criminals and certifiable morons. And suddenly, it's the Obama-Osama variety show. Ultimately, there is nothing worse to me than a public majority that takes everything they hear from the mouths of political warlocks at face value. Even the fear of death is truly a pittance compared to the threat of being enveloped by a stampeding herd of frightened, stupid human cattle. May 11th, an MSNBC poll said 67% of Americans feel there is a danger from terrorists. When a man is aware, and by aware I mean honest with himself, he inevitably suffers the pain of being certain, while the rest of the world enjoys the bliss of false assumptions. We live in a culture that inflicts great punishment on those who know and lavishes enticing but short-lived rewards on those who ignore. In such a place as this, meaning disappears and countries die. Some of us believe that the threat of terror is from within and that we as a nation are being prepped for the next false flag operation. Well, how far can they push the envelope of impending doom? Well, just ask the Jewish senator from New York, Charles Schumer, who is calling for a no-ride list for Amtrak after intelligence gleaned from the raid on bin Laden's compound pointed to potential attacks on the nation's train system. He said, quote, "Circumstances demand we make adjustments by increasing funding to enhance rail safety and monitoring on commuter rail transit and screening who gets on Amtrak passenger trains so that we can provide greater level of security to the public," end quote. He called on the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to expand the secure flight monitoring program, which cross-checks air travelers with the terror watch list in an attempt to prevent anyone on a no-fly list from boarding for use on Amtrak. Such a procedure would create an Amtrak no-ride list to keep suspected terrorists off the U.S. rail system. Now, the 9/11 Commission recommended in 2004 that the government check travelers' names against terror watch lists before they board passenger trains or cruise ships, but such a program was not adopted. Well, now maybe Senator Schumer will get his way. But what strikes me the most is that zilch has happened in the last 10 years. What have all the Al-Qaeda sleeper cells been doing? Sleeping? At least they could have blown up a few mailboxes, let alone sabotage some track by removing a few railroad ties. Even in teenage juvenile delinquents can do that. No, there's just something fishy about the alleged intelligence they got that doesn't sound too smart. They can milk this story till the cows come home. And I think that's what the conspiracies are all about. To make people think something is real so that they can take countermeasures while removing what few rights you have left to protect you. So it's not enough to have a million Americans on a no-fly list. Now those same people will be forbidden to travel on trains. Can you read the writing on the wall? In a totalitarian society, Big Brother, or Big Sister, if Hillary's in charge, is watching you with millions of cameras, even in your home. And you won't be able to go anywhere without your permission papers. A collapsing dollar, one last debt ceiling, a still irradiated Japan, gas prices spiking, haywire weather, and the only thing that has been able to draw people's attention to their television sets and comfort zone is the orchestrated hoax of Osama bin Laden's death. No third-party corroboration of the physical evidence. No independently verified video. Body dumped at sea, less than a day without forensic identification, apparently to avoid his rising from the grave as the invincible zombie bin Laden. But can you see the problem arising with a devout belief in every word Obama has to say without question? A boogeyman is a very powerful tool for corrupt governments. In fact, every despotic regime in history has concocted one fantasy villain after another in order to maintain their psychological stranglehold on the populace. Killing one only means a replacement is soon to be introduced. While many Americans are intelligent enough to at least express some concerns about the obviously deceitful manner in which the bin Laden death has been handled and promoted, there is still a significant number of the population that has invested themselves so completely in the bin Laden myth that they will support the official story without question. Sadly, the villains often become the drivers of history. Most events on the human timeline are merely reactionary movements of states and people to counter the dangerous antagonist, whether actual or fabricated. Very rarely do people act in concert to change the shape of their society or surroundings without a symbolic devil to spur them on. Now, this is not to say that there are not real adversaries to be dealt with in every generation, but problems surface when we become addicted to the idea of villains. We become so lethargic when it comes to putting in the effort of determining our own destinies that soon we start to need monsters to inspire us to take action in life. We welcome governments to conjure enemies for us because it makes us feel as though we have purpose again, as though we are a team. We're honorary SEALs. We need the secretive Navy SEAL Team 6 to save us. It's a perfect formula for movies and TV shows to feed the American sheeple with Marxist dialectics. A civilization caught in this circle of pure reaction usually devolves into something utterly pathetic. A people without principles, feeding on each other for comfort. Interestingly, the fermentation of amoral or destructive behavior is found most often in power structures, like governments and corporate institutions, where the desire for overt control can be satisfied. It's at the top of the pyramid that we find the bottom of the barrel in terms of how humane societies treat dogs or cats compared to people. So, is it not strange at all to consider the fact that elitists seek to create monsters out of the thin air, like the Axis of Evil, terrorist, lone gunman, homegrown extremist, barter networks, homeschoolers, or Amish dairy farmers? They know that people seek dragons to slay and so provide proxies and facsimiles. If they didn't, the masses may turn their attention towards the real threat, like the elites themselves. The Jews, throughout history, have been regarded as the worst sort of human vermin that spoils everything they touch. Back to history. Again, this is common sense and a consistent tactic, one which has been admitted to openly by establishment authorities for decades. The true boogeymen are not under your bed. They are not your next door neighbor who participates in activist groups. They are not right-wing extremists. They are not even in caves in Afghanistan or Pakistan. The only monsters worth so much attention and dedication are those that are closest to our seats of power. To find them, we have only to follow where all our money goes, where all our votes are misspent, and where all our decisions are made without our consent. When Bush Jr. ran on a platform of limited government and Christian values, and then tripled the size of government, it was not because he's an idiot man-child. It's because it was his job to pretend as if he cared about traditional conservatism while instituting socialist globalist programs under our noses. Obama is simply a black Bush, getting minorities, liberals, sodomites, anti-war groups to have faith in the great colored hope. And he obviously has his mass media cheerleaders in his hip pocket, gladly participating in the bin Laden fairy tale. War leads to many things, but rarely does it ever lead people into being freer, to having liberty. Wars not only destroy and then reorganize an economic system, it also rallies the masses to support the government that they would otherwise oppose. The American people and their hero, Charles Lindbergh, did not want war with Germany, but as soon as the Jewish manipulators let Pearl Harbor happen, because they had foreknowledge, we were off to another Jewish war. It's no different today with our young men and women signing up for something that might get them killed and for no noble or biblical cause whatsoever. If you want to distract the public away from the horrifying judgments of God, war, poverty, famine, sickness, etc., the only conceivable avenue for the wicked is more of the same. It's like the insane rationalization I heard a while back from a social engineer responding to the failures of school desegregation by saying there needs to be more integration. Nearly every engineer disaster in modern history has been followed by an engineered conflict to silence the outcry for new leadership. In America's case, these conflicts or undeclared wars are always preempted with calls for the spread of democracy, making the country more than a target, but a monster, and making us the knight in shining armor, off to rescue the poor villagers of the planet. But we're suckered again and again, playing out this myth, only to find out that we have furthered the aims of world communism and shot ourselves in the foot in the process. The underlying truth, after all is said and done, is a constant. There is only one truth that shall make us free. The truth does not change, we change. The change that Obama promised was a lie, and he's now covering his tracks with bigger lies. The truth is, the conditions that allowed the bin Laden fabrication to proliferate still operates with impunity. You can see it in his cocky body language. The reason bin Laden never had a trial is because we would have found out who he was taking his orders from. There's a reason this sermon sounds more political than theological. And that's because sometimes we have to be watchmen on the wall. It's a responsibility that most churches refrain from doing these days. Thus, the sheep are accounted for the slaughter. Propagandists have always understood this condition and the science of manipulating perception with diversion, bias, and fear. Whether it's a phony attack on an Al-Qaeda compound containing a body we'll never see, a sham of an election with puppet candidates, or a war in Libya that is never officially categorized as a war, you will be lied to by the government. And these lies, whether you accept them or not, will eventually hurt you or someone you care about. Recognizing the distinction is the first step in dismantling disinformation. Knowing what we are facing is the key to undoing the damage done. Edward Bernays, named one of Life magazine's 100 most influential people of the 20th century, wrote in his book, Propaganda, quote, "The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our taste formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. Vast numbers of people must cooperate in this manner if they are to live together in a smoothly functioning society. In almost every act of our daily lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, in our social conduct or our ethical thinking, we are dominated by a relatively small number of persons who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires which control the public mind." End quote. Well, actually, it is the illusion that God has given tyrants the power to do anything. The Bible says, "For by him were all things created, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Colossians 1:16. Here's the difficulty in assigning to mere mortals the reins of power, as Patrick Henry put it. It is when people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. And Woodrow Wilson is a good example of this amnesia, this forgetfulness, when he disclosed that, "Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the United States, in the field of commerce and manufacture, are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it." Not the words of a God-fearing man, would you say? "I believe Mystery Babylon, which the Word of God condemns, shall be utterly burned with fire in 1 hour, made desolate." I got an email from a friend, and he had some interesting comments I'd like to share with you. He's Christian Identity. He said, "You know what we're up against? We're not up against the evil Antichrist Jew. There was never a weaker man of integrity, morality, principle and fortitude than an Ashkenazi Khazar. We're up against our own kinsmen. Jesus said that our enemies would be those of our own household, our racial brethren. We're up against our brethren who are so wishfully eager to hold on to theological positions that aren't true, that have the net total effect of actually destroying the kingdom of God. And they have no more motivation to hang on to that theology than to try to prove they are right. And that, because the modern anti-Christian society is willing to accept the small amount of biblicality that the modern Judeo-Christian churches are still allowed to hold on to, they figure as long as they can remain uncontroversial, they'll be in good standings with their true God, the Antichrist establishment. After all, the Antichrist establishment God will come after us if we preach the truth about things. So let's compromise and sell salvation and the gospel short of actually producing the kingdom and threatening the establishment. And besides, the most important thing is what happens to people when they die, right? Wrong. The children of the wicked don't care one bit about where you go when you die. They're only concerned about one thing, and that is getting your influence out of the earth. They could care less what happens when you die. In fact, they'd rather you get there as soon as possible. And we're also up against our own kinsmen who refuse to have anything to do with the reality paradigm, because the whole of their thinking has been misshapen, misguided, and misdirected by individuals of influence who have nothing else better to do in life than to tear down anything noble, righteous, godly, and Christian. These men are those who control the finances of the world through the capital offense of usury banking, thus indebting our government and enslaving our people, and in their covetousness of the natural resources of different nations, they cause the wars we see overseas. These are they who own the national and international media lock, stock, and barrel, who control the education system, who have monopolized the printing presses and book publishing houses to include our children's school textbooks. And the only reason that these pseudo-Christians will never come to hear what we are trying to awaken them to is because they refuse to have anything to do with involving themselves in the struggle for which there will be blood, sweat, and tears to shed. They like the comfort of the pews, and they like having their insurance policy for after they die. That's the only level of involvement they have. And what pains me when you begin to see where the modern church is doctrinally and in terms of its worldview, it is very clear to me that modern Judeo-Churchianity is the religion of the Antichrist. Open Talmudism would never be accepted by our kinsmen, so they had to reshape it into a system where our people could absorb it slowly and not choke while we were swallowing it. Every influence in our society today is meant to do one thing: convert our people to become Antichrist Talmudic Jews. And he quotes the scripture that says, "Many became Jews for fear of the Jews." It's called a matrix, folks. As one man says, this is why they make movies about the idea of a matrix. So when someone who sees a matrix in real life and tells his friends, "We're really in one," his friend will turn around and reference his New Age God of prophecy, meaning television and movies and books and entertainment. And that God will reassure him, "It's just a movie. It's not real." How easy it is to manipulate and control Israelites. Well, that's quite an observation, which I was going to cover, but he made it for me. When we're asked for our papers within the bureaucratic machinery of Babylon, it won't be the Jewish commissar. It will be his little communist state of mind wigger, Antichrist, demanding, "Who be you?" As I watch the death, not of Osama bin Laden, yet again, but of critical thinking and the ability to cognitively discern, my disgust and sympathy for my fellow Israelites increases. As the sounds of re-election polls and ratings of political correctness echo from the mealy mouths of media whores into the brains of a fluoridated culture, the security alerts will be raised because we allegedly killed the most wanted terrorist in the world. And there shall surely be retaliation. How many Americans will be about their wits to wonder why the terror mastermind, who defeated not only the CIA and the FBI, but all 16 intelligence agencies, along with the Israeli Mossad, the National Security Council, the U.S. Air Force, air traffic control, who caused security procedures to fail 4 times in 1 hour on the same day, who caused the state-of-the-art Pentagon air defenses to fail, and who managed to fly 3 airliners into 3 buildings with pilots who did not know how to fly, has not pulled off any other attack in almost 10 years. Do Americans really believe that a government security system that can so totally fail when confronted by a few Saudi Arabians with box cutters can renew itself to perfection overnight? Could you imagine what a few disgruntled Navy SEALs could do if they ever went postal against the CFR? Americans are so mesmerized over the death of bin Laden that they don't wonder why information gleaned years ago would take so long to locate a person who was allegedly living in a $1 million compound next door to a Pakistani military facility. I would find out who the dopes are that told us he was living in different caves in the mountains, and I'd fire him. But you see, those are the kind of people that get promotions. This is sad, truly sad, that our people are still incapable of seeing this staged production. If they think the boogeyman is gone and airports will go back to magnetic wands and stop fondling our grandmas and little girls, that the police state will chill out for a little bit, that anti-terrorist legislation won't be beefed up, curtailing even more of our liberties, then they are delusional. Because it is all the perfect scenario, timed perfectly, with hundreds of Illuminati actors on the world stage, poised with their lines to convince you that the next black flag operation will shock and awe you into submission. But, like the Wizard of Oz, let's pull back the curtain and take a peek at the dog and pony show as those in control spin the big wheels, as they implore the audience, pay no attention to the men behind the curtain. But we did look. in awe at the wizard and his lies. And now know that he has no power at all. Once the game of lies have been exposed, it really doesn't matter how the other actors try to give the performance of their lives. For we know the truth, and the truth has set us free in our minds, at the very least, if nothing else. And that is the victory over the beast. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Our God doesn't require papers to be free or to be secure from our enemies. And Jesus said, this is why I said to you, no man is able to come to me if he is not given the power to do so by the Father. Oh, that we may love our Bibles. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which we are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.